Right, today's Tuesday, October 3rd, and the 10-year yield is rising to its highest level since 2007. Stocks are getting hammered. So when will we finally see a bottom, and how does this affect our position? And hint, it's not good. Anyhow, welcome to Coffee with Marcus and Mark. And in this show, we are going to talk to you about what's happening in the markets and how we are trading it. And if this is your first time here, I'm Marcus Heidkotter. This super smart guy over there is my head coach, Mark Hodge, and we are real traders who trade live accounts. So therefore, we got a lot of trading experience, and we're showing you how we trade these crazy markets. So trust me, we know our stuff, and we're not afraid to tell you like it is, even if it is ugly like this week. So if you're here looking for some honest insights into the fascinating world of trading, you are in the right place. And Mark, stocks just keep falling.
Yes, right now, it's all about interest rates potentially being higher longer. And now, jobs on Friday, earnings on Friday the 13th. That's all the market cares about.
Yeah. So, I mean, just a very quick look ahead here at the economic calendar. So you mentioned it, we do have a jobs report. Today we had a glimpse of it. So we had the JOLTS jobs opening, and this came in better than expected.
It did. And I mean, honestly, I think this is just fluff. I take that back. The JOLTS jobs opening is something that the Fed takes into consideration. I believe it was introduced after the financial crisis, and it was something that the Fed would look at, but it's a survey. And to put things into perspective, the jobs report is really the meat and potatoes of what the Fed really needs to focus on when it comes to the heart of jobs and where we're at, and that is Friday. So yes, we had JOLTS jobs, and it's going to be a week for jobs. We even have, you know, jobs data tomorrow. We have jobs data on Thursday. But when it comes down to it, Friday is what matters.
Yeah. So it seems that last month we had a surprise to the downside. This month, a surprise to the upside. 8.8 million jobs opening expected, topping it by 800,000, 9.6 million. And this is where it goes back like, okay, is the Fed done? And Powell has said multiple times that he is concerned about a tight jobs market, a tight labor market. And that they actually would like to see that the unemployment is moving a little bit higher. And if we see it did it last month, so it came in higher than expected, 3.8. But right now, and this is for Friday, the expectation is that unemployment will tick lower again to 3.7%. And as I said, I mean, it's all about interest rates. It is about jobs because it is affecting the interest rates. And then after this week, so next week, earnings season kicking off. But yeah, that's what's in focus right now.
Yeah, in the meantime, investors are getting a little shaky with yields rising and the idea that interest rates will stay higher longer. I mean, who could blame them? If you have zero risk appetite and you're trying to park some money, why not put it in an interest-bearing investment, right?
And this is where we talk about the 10-year yield today, up 2%, trading at the highest level since, March 2007. So that's the highest level here in 16 years now. I mean, it's kind of crazy, almost approaching the 5.0 level. And if we look at this, I mean, it is just up and away.
Yeah, and I still think that this is a little overdone, Marcus, personally. And it seems as though everybody's always reacting too late, right? So now there's this concern about interest rates and the yields in particular, the Fed keeping rates higher longer. But I believe, you know, where's the trajectory? Where do we go in a year or two? And in my opinion, that's absolutely down when it comes to interest rates, right? And what the Fed intends on doing. So I still think it's a little bit of an overreaction. But in the meantime, traders are just picking up any data possible and using that as a reason to sell, it seems like.
Yeah. And so here we are at the market probabilities again. Right now for the next meeting, traders still expect their Fed to stay keep interest rates the same, 67 by 32. And yeah, I mean, it just takes a little bit longer until we see a decrease in interest rates. And I mean, we talked about it yesterday. At this point, we have to, at some point, stop this inversion, right? Because the two-year yield, if we are looking at this, the two-year yield is still higher than the 10-year yield. And that's not what is normal. Normally, the 10-year yield is higher than the two-year. So eventually, the two-year needs to come down, the 10-year needs to come up. What has happened over the past few days is that both are rising, but the 10-year is rising quicker than the two-year, narrowing the gap between these two.
That is true.
All right. So in a moment, we'll take a look at our positions, but I just want to come back here to the SPX. I mean, at this point, we are attacking the 200-day moving average. So, I mean, we have sliced through the support levels at 43.50. And now I think the next line in the sand is right here at the 200-day moving average at around 4,200. After that, I mean, if we could fall down to 4,000, I mean, hard to say. But I really believe that the 200-day moving average could hold here as support. What do you think?
I think that that is exactly where the market's going to be tested. For two reasons. You have the 200-day moving average, but also if you look at the lows of March and the highs of July, we're smack dab right in the middle. So that'd be a perfect 50% retracement right at that 200-day. So I do think that that's the line in the sand. I think that jobs, we'll see. I think that's a wild card for this week, but then we get into earnings, and I still think that there's some buying opportunities here with this sell-off.
Yeah, and it's super interesting how it changes on a daily basis. So yesterday we had our Magnificent Seven that were everybody's darling. So we had yesterday Amazon up, Google up, Microsoft up, Apple up, Nvidia up, Tesla, and today they're all down. I mean, Amazon down 3.3%, Tesla down 2.5%, Meta down 2%, Google 1.5%, Nvidia. It's right now, it's just the flavor of the day.
Yeah. It's a nice little picture of red there, Marcus.
It is so far, because I mean, we also going back to the 5-minute chart of the S&P and looking off what happened today, let me just remove the 200-day moving average. I mean, pretty much after the jobs report was released, which is right here, we kind of have been in free fall. I mean, we're right now trading at session lows. And I mean, so far in the session, we have already lost 50 points.
And this is a decent slide. I mean, we're over a percent now. It was interesting looking at the overnight session. Things were a little quiet. We started to sell a little bit. About 7 a.m. Eastern, and then that went into the 10 o'clock hour, like you said, and hitting session lows. It's a decent sell-off for the day, and we'll see where the day ends up.
Yeah. All right. You actually want to take a look at positions? Well, you have the right mug there, right? I mean, you have to follow your plan, and we're following our plan. See, nobody can really predict what the markets are doing. All we can do as traders is react to the markets, and that's what we do. So that's where we are following our plan, and yeah, we are in some stocks that are no fun. One of them being CSIQ. I mean, CSIQ bouncing back a little bit today after selling off, but having a pretty bad day yesterday, and this is all connected to the higher interest rates. So, I mean, we talked about it. Utilities, in general, utilities, you get the idea, right, are being hammered by high interest rates, and solar is no exception here.
Yeah, and this is where when we have the higher rates, utilities are usually a safe investment with low volatility and a conservative play, right? It's something that advisors and funds will put money in. However, when you have such an interest rate increase where now the benefit of utilities and a nice decent dividend yield is minimal compared to that 10-year yield, or you know, you're getting a better return there. It makes it difficult, and this is where I still think that NEE is a good solid company, and time will work in our favor. But short term, this yield spike, it's not helping NEE combined with the information that they shared last week.
And just to be clear, for a moment, we were talking about CSIQ, so we switched over to NEE.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, NEE having this drop right now, also down. Has it found some support here at around the 50 level? I mean, we need NEE go back up to 69.50. So this will be a longer term play. And we will be stuck in this one for probably a few months. I mean, we're not talking about a few weeks here. This might be a few months.
Sure. And since I flip-flopped and didn't address CSIQ, it's also interest rate driven, right? It just with higher interest rates and financing solar, which that's what it's all about. You, as a salesperson, you say, hey, solar will pay for itself in X number of years. Well, now that it's a lot more expensive to finance it over that period, it's harder to justify the expense, right? Yeah. That's just the way it is. But where will we be in 6 months? I think we'll be shifting towards a lower interest rate environment rather than a higher one. So short term, there's a little bit of a reaction, and that's never fun. But Marcus, this is where also I think it's important. We feel like geniuses when short term we make money, but this is where there's the difference between a professional and an amateur. We need to focus on our decisions, what we can control, how we get into the market, how we get out of the market. And this is why we have a plan. And this is why we follow it, because it's not necessarily the short term outcome, because anybody could get in and out of a trade and make money. It's the long-term result and decisions that we make. So I still confident in the decisions. Sure, it's not fun when we're in an NEE and CSIQ so quick to one another, right? Typically, we have a lot more spacing where we have a lot of easy trades in between, but comfortable with the decision, stand by it still.
Yeah. Then we also have PNC, and PNC today is kind of hanging in there because with the markets down more than 1%, PNC is only down, 0.1%. So I'll take this. Maybe we have found some support there and can go up from there. What else?
Look at UPS, because this is another one. Very interesting. UPS down a little bit, but compared to the overall market, hanging in there.
Yeah, I mean, down 0.5%. And yeah, at this point, I got assigned at 157.50. You got assigned at 165. I want to write this a little bit higher. I'm most interested in selling the 162.50. So that's what right now I'm waiting for UPS to bounce a little bit back. I mean, it looked good a couple of days ago. So last Friday, it looked good. Looked good earlier this morning. But I want to see that there's a little bit more of bounce in UPS.
Sure.
All right.
You want to
look
at
any trades? New trades that we're in. And I mean, I'm in one trade, Mark is in one trade. And I mean, you let us know if you want to see these trades. If so, do us a favor, give us a like really quick. And then we switch back and show you the trades that we are in. Let me just see. I'm curious how many likes we have. Okay, let's see if they're coming in here. Perfect. So I start with my trade. So the trade that I took yesterday was Devon Energy. And Devon Energy, I sold the 45 put. So this means that if by Friday, Devon Energy stays above 45, I keep the whole premium and then nothing happens. If it drops below, I'll get assigned, still keep the whole premium. And this is where I'm hoping kind of to get assigned that I can sell calls against the existing position. So the reason why I took Devon Energy is I kind of like the fundamentals here. And let's take a look at this. They do meet my criteria, a super low PE ratio, a high dividend yield, nice market cap above 5 billion. And the annual income statement to me looks good. Again, 2020, Mark, we talked about it this morning. I mean, in 2020, crude oil futures went negative for the first time ever when the whole world shut down because of the coronavirus. So this were 2020. I give them a pass. And I mean, overall, this is looking like a solid company to me. And I'm okay owning Devon Energy here.
I like it. It was definitely one that I was considering, and I was close to taking the same trade. I think that it's solid and I like the support, but I opted for a different ticker.
All right, let's take a look at this. The one that you liked yesterday and still like today was Goldman Sachs. Is Goldman Sachs?
Yeah, I think Goldman is solid, right? And it's just a matter of where do you want to own Goldman. I think it's a solid company. The fundamentals look good. And this is where when we look at support levels, I really think that there's some solid support between around 300 and maybe 315. And so I went and sold the 312.50 expiring this Friday. Now, yesterday we were down a little bit and it was really trading above another support level. So I felt comfortable with the 312.50. Today, we're down almost 3% with Goldman Sachs. So it's trading at 309 and a quarter. Those 312.50 puts are in the money. But based on my analysis and my strategy, I'm okay owning Goldman at 312.50. That's why I sold that put. We'll see where we end up on Friday.
Yeah, and I mean, this is where... Again, super solid company, P/E ratio of 13.77, dividend yield of 3.4, market cap of 106, and also looking pretty solid annually. Had a little bit of dip here in 2022, but I mean, it's Goldman Sachs, right? I mean, this is where the too big to fail comes into play. So I like this trade. I mean, today the 302.50 is available. I believe that a little bit earlier it was the 305, but I mean, this is also a very super solid level here at which to sell puts, I believe.
That's why I did it.
Yeah. All right, let's see what is happening in the markets. Have we found a bottom or are we still moving lower? And we are still trading at session low. So the question is, when can markets turn around? And it might be that we have to wait until Friday's jobs report before we see some buying coming back. I mean, September was the worst month of the year. October, so far, not much better just yet. But again, we do have potentially support at the 200-day moving average. So maybe another couple of days of falling before investors see a buying opportunity here.
And I do think that level around... I mean, we could even say 42 and a quarter, 4200, 4250. That zone, I think, is great for potential support. You really have this confluence between a retracement of 50% from lows to highs, the 200-day moving average, and the highs that we really struggled to break through at early 2023. So that, to me, is a solid, solid level for buyers to potentially step in and then have fun during earnings.
Yeah, and that's when we probably have more fun selling calls. Right now, not too much fun, but that's what we do here. We show you the positions that we are in, and we'll show you what's real, what's happening here. So if you're enjoying this, give us a like. Really appreciate the likes. If this is your first time here, consider subscribing and hit the little notification bell. This way, get notified when we are going live. And we are live here every day that the markets are open at 10 o'clock Central Time, 11 o'clock Eastern Time. Oh, also... we would appreciate if you share this video. Anyhow, have a great rest of the day, and we will be back with you tomorrow.
Happy trading, everybody.